Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Kim Meckwood. Kim, it's really great to have you on. I appreciate you being here. And can you first of all tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Click and Carry?
Sure. So hello, everybody. I'm thrilled to be here. So I am calling from Scranton, PA, which is the home of the office, as everyone knows. I usually live in Los Angeles. I kind of split my time. And I am here to tell you about Click and Carry, which is a simple handle device that helps shoppers to manage and carry multiple bags at once. And I'll show you quickly how it works. You twist it open, load handle bags onto each side, any bag with the handle. And as long as you evenly distribute the weight, you can carry it in your hand, or better, you can wear it on your shoulder and your hands free. So the benefit is that when you wear it on your shoulder, you're using your back as a support system. So it feels like half the weight.
That's amazing. No, I love that. And could you tell me a little bit about the background of this brand? I mean, how did you come up with this idea? What was kind of the general problem you saw out there in the market that you were looking to solve in creating this product?
Sure. So it's kind of a silly reason, but I had a breakup with a boyfriend, and I live in the condo mostly in Los Angeles. And to get to my front door is like competing in an obstacle course. You have to go through multiple doors, sometimes up an elevator or stairs. And one never seems to have a free hand when carrying in the groceries. So when we broke up, I had to carry in my own groceries. I knew there had to be a better way. So I came up with the Click and Carry. Initially, it was just the bottom portion and it worked perfectly. But the problem is when you set that down, the bags would pop out. So I knew I needed two parts. And I went through 9 iterations. There was a magnet section. And finally, I came up with the winner, iteration number 9. And once I had it in place, I created a mold to see if it was viable. And it was. So that's when it was born.
That's amazing. And what year was that about? I'm just curious.
Gosh, it was a while ago. I would say maybe 2010. It was awesome. Just a side gig. I used to work for Medtronic at the time in deep brain stimulation. So I was always in either medical device sales or pharmaceutical sales. So it's a complete departure from that industry, but it's been a fun passion project for me.
No, that's amazing. And I guess I'm just curious, you know, when you brought it to market in 2010, what was your kind of go-to-market strategy as far as like the revenue channels you were looking to sell it through? Were you looking to do mostly like online D2C sales? Were you looking to sell to like wholesalers or retailers predominantly? And then also, you know, from there, kind of walk me up to 2024 here today and if it's any different or you've kind of maintained the same as where you started.
Sure. So at the time, my goal was to get into retail. And ultimately I did. I started at Ralph's or Kroger. It's one of the divisions of Kroger at the grocery stores. And it was usually merchandise adjacent to the reusable bags or when one checks out of the store. But I really started in gas stations and farmers markets. And I did the Pasadena swap meet, things like that, just ways to get around the area and to get word out. And every time I would see a movie star, I would give them a Click and Carry. I can't tell you how many movie stars or television stars have a Click and Carry.
That's amazing. I mean, you're obviously in a great area at the time to do those kinds of that kind of outreach, just running into people. So that's amazing. And I guess one thing I'd be curious about is just like the nature of the product and the nature of a lot of things changing in the grocery store with, you know, a lot of states like my state in New York, and I'm sure California is the same, is like, they're not doing plastic bags anymore. A lot of them don't have any bags at all. So a lot of people have their own reusable bags. Have you found any like kind of feedback on that of people kind of like, you know, like changing with those as things kind of change in like the grocery store experience in general?
Yes. In fact, Click and Carry can hold anything with a handle. It's actually better for reusable bags and better for our environment as well. But it's any bag with the handle. And interestingly, I invented it for groceries, but people use it as a ski buteau for dry cleaning.
You can
carry
paint
cans, construction pails. You could walk multiple dogs at once. And then once you get it home, you can actually twist it open and place your phone or your iPad here, and it's a stand. So you could use it all around the house. And I say that it carries up to 100 pounds, but it doesn't even stress fracture until 153 pounds. So it's a really durable product. So it's actually moving into stores like Tractor Supply Company, Lowe's, and Home Depot. They've all shown interest, and I actually have a meeting on June 13th with the Tractor Supply Company because people could carry heavy pails, the 5-gallon pails with the click and carry. It's really useful.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I can obviously see it. I mean, it's super versatile. I mean, anywhere you're buying things, it's going into something. I mean, unless you're buying, like, maybe if you're buying a bucket from Home Depot, putting all the rest of your stuff in there. But even still, if you have two buckets, yeah, it still works, right? Yes. But no, I can see that. I can see it being, you know, very obviously applicable to any type of shopping, not even just grocery stores, even though, like, that's where my mind went at first, just because of your backstory. But that's amazing. I could definitely see that. And I obviously have to ask, you know, I see on the website you're on Shark Tank. I've actually seen your episode myself. I love Shark Tank. I've seen almost every episode after they put it on, I believe on Hulu. So, but no, it's amazing. And can you kind of tell me a little bit about that experience leading up to, you know, being on the show, and then a little bit about your experience during, and also, you know, how your relationship has been with the team that you work with afterwards?
Sure. So I obviously wanted to be on Shark Tank for a long time. I think the show is amazing, and I also knew I didn't have a huge marketing budget, so this is a great way to get exposure. But truly, I really just love the show, and it was a great vehicle for me to use to promote my product. I was actually selected for season 3, and I worked with the producers for about 3 months. And then at the 11th hour, I received the kibosh. So I continued to apply and apply. I probably auditioned 7 or 8 times, so much so that the casting agents all knew me by name, and they actually came into my filming to root me on, which actually, I should have been happy, but it added more pressure because I wanted to make them proud.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty much a dream come true for me. It was a very exciting day, but also a very scary day. In fact, a funny story is the fact that Lori asked me a question and I was literally so nervous, I ran out of saliva, and I said, hold on 1 second. And I luckily hit a bottle of water off stage and I went to get it. You're not allowed to leave the stage. So everyone started laughing, and I was shocked it didn't make it to air because it's a no-no, but I needed to do it. I had nothing left to talk with. So that just gives you an idea of the type of anxiety inducing situation being on Shark Tank is. And my deal actually didn't go through. I don't know if you noticed, but mine says season 12, episode 8, but I actually filmed for season 11, but I didn't make it to air. And what happened is COVID happened, and the executive producer called me to tell me I didn't make it to air, and I was devastated. And then he called again a couple of months later and left a message, and I could tell he was smiling in the voicemail. So I called him right back, and he said, Kim, do you remember when I told you that your episode didn't make it to air and you asked about archived episodes? I said, yes. And he said, do you remember what I said? I said, yeah. You said, I never say never, but it's never happened before. So my episode is the only episode ever to make it out of archives. And it was I was actually with the 4 other companies I was with on the show were filming with me that very same day. So we all made it to air, and we're the only episode in season 12 that is not showing social distancing for obvious reasons. And
it's very interesting, actually. Yeah. I actually did not notice that. I don't know how I missed that, because I usually like binge watch them for like, you know, an hour or two. So
yeah. So that's what happened. And it was sadly, my deal didn't go through, and I don't know if it was because I didn't air, and maybe the sharks don't want to move forward if they're not going to get the publicity, but I still have the ability to talk to Mark or Barbara. I email with Mark occasionally. In fact, I sent him these Maverick click and carries, and the reason is because he owns Cost Plus Drugs, and having been in pharmaceuticals, I know that he could put Cost Plus Drugs on here with a QR code, so people who buy prescription drugs from him could scan the code and renew their prescription every month. So I'm hoping that he likes that idea and buys a whole bunch of click and carries from me. But he's been very good to me. And when I ask him for advice, he'll give it to me. It's very intimidating to get an email from Mark Cuban. And I will tell you that it's very succinct. That's how he does business. And I talk a lot. And obviously, when I write to him, I write a lot, but he's just succinct and to the point, and the sign of a really phenomenal businessman. He's pretty great.
That's amazing, though. I love that. And I guess I'm curious too. I mean, just after you showed me the Mavericks branded click and carry, is that a big like source of revenue stream for you? Do you do things like that pretty regularly for certain organizations that want something like specifically branded like that?
I do. In fact, I'm talking to Kroger, and they want it for their delivery people. And
Oh, okay.
I suggested obviously the QR code so people could just reorder their groceries each week by scanning the QR code. Perhaps their weekly order is saved and they could just add or subtract. I said the same thing for Tractor Supply Company and for Home Depot and Lowe's, because in their case, maybe people buy a certain paint. Well, maybe the QR code can go to a spot where color of paint and the brand of paint that they purchased is stored. So when they want to refresh the paint in 5 years, all of that information is stored. So things like that. But most recently is the city of Fairfax, Virginia. They contacted me just the other day, and they want to buy a bunch of click and carries that are customized with their logo to give out to the volunteers who help them. So,
oh, very cool.
So yeah, I can customize it. I can make any color of the rainbow and use any logo with their permission.
That's amazing. So with Kroger, though, were they looking to use it for like their delivery people, or looking to like, you know, put them in them for the people who they're delivering to be able to carry them into the house?
For their delivery people.
I got it. Okay.
My newest account is Albertsons and Safeway, which is their competitor. They almost were a conglomerate. I wish that they were. Mm-hmm. But I also gave the opportunity to Albertsons and Safeway, and they don't have a program yet where they have reusable bags, because my state and your state, New York, they emphasize reusable bags, but that's not the case all over the country. So They're going to be implementing that. And maybe in the future, they'll want the customized version with the QR code. But for now, they just want the click and carry versions.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I guess one question I'd ask, I mean, obviously, this is obviously a very heavily, you know, retail product. I mean, it makes perfect sense to be in those locations and in those types of situations. Do you have any like kind of like D2C side of the business as well? Is that something that's kind of been accelerating or growing for you at any point?
Absolutely. I consider that my base salary. I'm on Amazon. I have a website, clickandcarry.com. I'm on Lowe's.com, Kroger.com. Walmart.com. So yeah, it's a big part of my business. It's right now, it's the biggest part of my business. So having established that, I feel like it's my base salary. So it gives me the opportunity to have freed up time to go after these retailers. So that's my big push for this year. And my two newest ones, like I said, are Albertsons Safeway. And then I believe I'm going to be working with Areas US, and they're retailers, but they're in airports and train stations, which is a great spot for a click and carry, because we all will go shopping at the airport, or we're obviously visiting somewhere. So we want to carry our souvenirs. So it's a perfect spot for a click and carry.
That's amazing. There's so many amazing ideas. I mean, the brainstorming capacity for the uses of this thing are just endless, seemingly. It's so amazing. I love that. Then I guess there's one question I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast, Kim, which is, so obviously since 2010, you've obviously learned a lot. You've been on Shark Tank, talked to some of the greatest business minds in the world and Mark Cuban. So but everything you've learned since then, I mean, if you could go back to when you're still kind of in the idea stage, even pre-revenue, and give yourself any one piece of advice if you were to start again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
Oh, gosh. I would say just go full force. I didn't initially. I was single, so I had to pay for my condo. And I didn't quit my job, so I didn't go full-time into the business. And I know that's pretty risky. Excuse me. I know that's pretty risky, but I would say go for it. If you know you have a winner, just go for the gold. It would be my advice. And I did make a big mistake right in the beginning. I ended up going to a trade show. It was basically my last hurrah into going full force into retail. And I spent, at the time, to me, it was a lot of money. I spent $8,000 to have a booth in, it was called Inventor's Corner at the Home and Houseware Show in Chicago. And they also had a panel similar to Shark Tank where you were able to pitch your idea. And unbeknownst to me, QVC loved it. So they called Bethany Frankel, who is the amazing entrepreneur who did Skinny Girl Margaritas, and she has a whole brand. She's another mastermind and guest shark, as you know. And she, at the time, had a talk show where once a week, she would do a segment called Bethany in Your Business, where she would give advice or a stipend to a small business owner. And her show was ending. So they called me out of the blue and asked me if I wanted to be on the show. And I said, yes, of course, because I think she's pretty great. And I admire her a lot. She's pretty funny too, and sharp. And I wish I had as much moxie. I'm a little bit too nice, and she uses her sharp edge to get things done. But I went on her show, and I thought, I would get the advice and maybe a $5,000 or $10,000 stipend, but instead I ended up getting a contract with QVC, which was amazing. And it went gangbusters, and I didn't have enough inventory. So I had just bought a condo. I had to use my 401k to pay for about, I think it was $150,000 worth of inventory, but sometimes you have to strike while the iron is hot. It was a big mistake because my penalty was enormous because I'm obviously not 65 years old. So that was a mistake that I made early on. I didn't realize that there were other options. My dad had just passed away, so I wasn't going to ask my mom or my family for money. And that was the decision I made. And it was a poor decision, but I mean, it's pretty cool to have QVC under your on your notch belt. So it was pretty
Yeah,
neat.
no, it's fair enough. And it's actually a story I've actually heard before, not with QVC, but with just like, you know, a lot of CPG brands selling into retail and working with distributors. If you're short on your inventory, the penalties are crazy. I know, I think you meant that as your 401k, but I'm sure, I don't know if they have anything like that, but I know the penalties, you know, selling wholesale to anybody, there's usually big penalties there if you can't deliver. So, but no, it's definitely a common story. And I think a common mistake a lot of people make in the beginning. And sometimes maybe even a necessary one. I mean, what were you gonna, like, were you gonna say no? Absolutely not. Of course, you're gonna say yes and like do whatever it takes, right? So I think that's always like the caveat whenever, you know, I ask that question. The answers are always fascinating. And, you know, even with the mistakes, you know, people always obviously go back and say that, but I would never do anything differently because I either learned or I would have had to pass up on an opportunity, even though I did make a mistake that I wouldn't have had regardless. So I appreciate your insight and your thoughts on that. I always quite like the answers to that question. So, and then Kim, I just want to give you a quick opportunity as well, just to shout out the website, any of your socials people should know about if anybody may be interested in you know, connecting with you on a business capacity for a potential partnership, or just want to maybe try the product, see where they can check it out. Let everybody know how to stay in touch with you all.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have a whole bunch of social media. My website is clickandcarry.com. It's A-N-D, clickandcarry.com. And that is also my Instagram and TikTok. Please follow me. I'm not great at social media, so any help is requested. It's interesting. A lot of people like to make videos for me, so that's phenomenal. Feel free to grab yourself a Click and Carry and make a video. I would love to post it for you. I'm also on Facebook under Click and Carry with the ampersand. And I know that this show is aired on LinkedIn quite often. So I'm also on LinkedIn as Kimberly Meckwood, Kimberly, last name Meckwood, Meckwood. Thank you for this amazing opportunity. And I would definitely love to partner with anyone. In fact, I am still the 100% owner, but I do have to sell a portion of my business because this Albertsons Safeway account could be enormous, and I'm going to need to throw some money into this and buy a whole bunch of inventory. So I'm definitely looking for investors right now.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Kim. I really appreciate you coming on and all your insights and your passion for what you're doing. I appreciate you sharing your story, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck and continued success. I really look forward to staying in touch as well.
Thank you, Matt. I would love that.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, everybody.